Thank you for traveling with Amex Platinum. To your right, you'll see Oceanside Relaxation at a fine hotel and resort property. When booked through Amex Travel, you can enjoy complimentary breakfast for 2 and 4 p.m. late checkout. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Welcome to Fantasy Football Weekly, a production of iHeartRadio.
Time now for Fantasy Football Weekly from iHeartRadio, your weekly source for the nation's best fantasy football advice, speculation, and whatever stupid stuff they decide to drop into the show. Now here's your host, Paul Charchian.
It's a special draft day edition of Fantasy Football Weekly. I'm Paul Charchian, co-host today, Matt Harrison.
Good afternoon, Charch. I woke up this morning, as many NFL fans did, feeling great. I'm guessing the Atlanta Falcons fans did not
feel that way. No, I think you're right about that. It's a baffling one, and we'll talk about we're going to talk about the fantasy landing spots for everybody in the first round. As you and I are speaking right now, the draft, the first round. We're about, I don't know, 18 hours from the end of the first round, something like that.
Yeah.
20 hours from the end of the first round. Second round hasn't started yet as we're recording. But we're going to go through every quarterback, wide receiver, and tight end taken in the first round. No, sure. Running backs to talk about.
No.
But hoping for Trey Benson.
And you know what? You and Thor will get to talk about all the landing spots of those guys next week.
Yes, so. That's exactly right. Thor and I
but
will.
But these are the big money guys right here, right?
Yeah. Those are the big money guys. All right, let's start. Let's just do this rookies in the order they were taken. How's
sure.
that sound?
We all can right. do that.
Let's do that. So I want to talk about the spot they drop into, the dynasty value, or Empire League value for each one, and then how their landing spot affects players around them, if at all.
Sure.
Sound good?
Yeah.
Okay. So let's start with Caleb Williams. First player taken goes to the Bears, no surprise.
The environment is fantastic. The Bears have certainly put offensive weapons around Caleb. The offensive line, solid. Not great, but solid. The Bears only have 2 draft picks left, a third and a fourth. I expect they grab a depth tackle at least one of those spots to help shore up, because the left tackle position is probably the weak spot on that offensive line.
And that's an important one.
And, you know, the dynasty value, he's the top rookie quarterback for me. I have him ranked as quarterback 6 in dynasty right now.
Wow.
Just above Anthony Richardson, Justin Herbert, and Jordan Love, which... those are
pretty
some pretty big names. It sounds shocking, but this is dynasty value, and people love their rookies.
They do. They'll overpay for rookies.
They'll overpay for the rookies.
I promise.
Just like NFL GMs will overpay for draft picks.
Yes.
As far as values for others, I think we've expected this pick for a pretty long time, so DJ Moore and Keenan Allen have already kind of got that adjustment as to where they are. But Roma Dunze, we're going to get to him in a minute. I think he ticks up just a touch in value, but we'll talk about that in a little bit.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. Although we've thought this was the landing spot for Roma Dunze you know, all along, I think this was the probable spot.
Sure.
But to just get it validated.
He could have ended up in a lot of different places, though, and because all the way down at 9, you never know.
You never know. Yeah. You know, but I don't think he was ever going to fall out of about the top, I don't know, 11.
Yeah, exactly.
So, you know, I think it was a pretty small margin.
Sure.
Okay, the second player taken, Jaden Daniels, goes to Washington. Again, no surprise here at all. Immediate starter. Cliff Kingsbury's track record, you know, I'm not a big Kingsbury fan, but look, he proved that he can make, you know, he made Kyler Murray into a pretty good, reliable fantasy asset. And the rushing upside of Jaden Daniels is better than Murray's by a margin. So Terry McLaurin. That's a plus for sure. But the offensive line of Washington remains awful. They allowed the most sacks last year. They obliterated my guy Sam Howell, and no major offseason real improvements to the line. They've changed out some parts, but not real improvements. So we're going to see Daniels' escapability on display regularly.
Do you think there was a tiebreaker in the Jaden Daniels-Drake May thing where they were like, well, Drake May is going to get killed because he's not fast enough? Well,
and he's pretty fast too, yeah. But he's not Jaden Daniels fast, so probably yes. I believe the value in Dynasty for Jaden Daniels very high. In Superflex, he's arguably quarterback one among the entire draft class to me, even ahead of Caleb Williams because of the rushing. In non-Superflex, I think he's still a top four rookie at this point with the other two receivers in that mix as well.
On my trade value chart at Shock Fantasy, I have Jaden Daniels overall as QB12 right now. He's right around Dak Prescott and Tua.
Perfect. And feel free to chime in with that throughout the rest of this, because I've been on the radio basically the last 24 hours straight.
So I did a good job.
I've not been able to really do a lot of long-term thinking on Dynasty values.
I can't believe you still have your energy up. You were so excited last night on the Vikings draft show.
And
great.
I still am excited. It's just the greatest 24 hours of the year, right? Mm-hmm. So let's talk about just briefly some other values that change here. Terry McLaurin. He's never been a big downfield guy. I don't know that he directly benefits from Jaden Daniels' big arm. And maybe even McLaurin's value production goes down while Daniels learns on the job, which is probable. Now, alternately, Jahan Dotson to me gets just like one last breath of life here.
Yeah.
Maybe this is going to put Jahan Dotson into a spot who is more of a downfield threat where he can finally pull it all together and make good on that first round value that he was for the Washington, we'll just say Commanders. We'll leave it at that.
They're now the Commanders.
Yes, now the Commanders. I don't think they were then. All right, let's go to Drake May, the third pick of the draft.
This is probably the worst possible environment for a rookie quarterback to land in. Kendrick Bourne and KJ Osborne are your top targets.
Yeah.
The offensive line is ranked in the bottom five by just about everyone, and the offensive coordinator is Alex Van Pelt, who held the same job in Cleveland with Kevin Stefanski, but Stefanski called the plays. Mm-hmm. There's also a decent chance that Jacoby Brissett could start for most of the early part of the season. I mean, honestly, if I'm a Dynasty Drake May owner, I almost want Jacoby Brissett to have this whole year and let the Patriots figure out the offensive line, all the other things
before you
shell shock Drake May.
Yeah, I like that. And very important as you think about whether or not you're playing to win this year.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that Drake May is going to help you win this year.
No, and you got to think that the Patriots are picking in the top five
next year too. Yeah. And maybe that's a receiver.
Yeah, it could be. Dynasty value, long term, I still really like the player. He's on the younger side of the quarterbacks in this draft. And if the Pats were smart, I think they'd just sit him for the whole year, let Brissett take those lumps. Right now, he's my fourth rookie quarterback off the board in a rookie draft. He's tied for QB14. On my Dynasty trade value chart, similar value to J.J. McCarthy, Brock Purdy, just a bump ahead of Trevor Lawrence.
I've got him behind all those guys.
Okay.
And I like him. I like Drake May.
Yeah.
I worry the ramp-up time is going to be so slow.
It could be really slow.
Yeah.
But, you know, honestly, his value probably holds better if he doesn't play.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you, which is weird.
Yeah.
Right? And a lot of the newness will wear off, and people get bored of him a year from now, but his value is better in the future.
Yeah. The values of others. The only player that you were probably considering rostering on the Patriots is Ramondre Stevenson. I don't think this changes his value all that much at all.
Agreed. Marvin Harrison was the next player taken on Thursday. He goes to Arizona. Not the ideal landing spot, but not a terrible one. He'll be the focal point of the entire offense with zero meaningful competition for looks from anybody else. I'll tell you, your tight end, right?
Yeah. Yep.
Kyler Murray hasn't powered any wideout to major fantasy production since DeAndre Hopkins back in 2020. And even then, you know, Hopkins had a lot of yards, not a lot of touchdowns that year. I think only six. And none of Murray's receivers have ever topped eight touchdowns ever.
Wow.
So I think Murray is a bit of a cap here. It would have been, you know, and it would have been better for Harrison if he'd have dropped a spot and would have been teamed up with
Justin Herbert.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, doesn't work out that way. Quietly, the Cardinals offense got a lot better down the stretch last year. From week 13 forward, they averaged 25 points per game.
Yeah, Kyler wasn't bad the tail end of that year.
It wasn't bad last year. I think the dynasty value for Harrison is very high. Thanks to Harrison's rarely seen versatility, big play production, I think he goes first overall in most non-superflex rookie drafts.
I agree with that. Right now I have Marvin Harrison as wide receiver 4 in dynasty.
Wow.
Up with Amon-Ra, St. Brown, and Tyreek Hill. Oh,
man, that's lofty.
That's who you're trading to get him right now.
Man. There's not a lot of impact here other than Kyler Murray gets a bump. And quietly, it's just deep, deep sleeper. Michael Wilson, who flashed some signs of competence on and off last year when he wasn't hurt, could be a sneaky producer in year two.
How about this, though? Where do you have Trey McBride landing in your tight end rankings as we near draft season in July?
I think he's sitting at like tight end 3.
Yeah.
So
he's going to be right there. But I think that solidifies him. In that top 3 to 5 range. Yeah,
this helps McBride.
Yeah.
For sure. Having a wide receiver who's going to take the top off of defenses and leave the middle open for McBride, love it. Malik Nabers was the next player taken.
Yeah, speaking of wide receivers who can take the top off, he instantly walks into the wide receiver 1 role in New York, something they haven't had since Odell Beckham left after the 2018 season. They've tried with a lot of second and third round picks and even a couple of firsts in there. Hi, Kadarius Toney.
Yeah.
The offensive line has potential. They have former first round picks Evan Neal and Andrew Thomas, and they have veteran John Runyon at guard. Brian Daboll is a play caller, has to be seen as a plus, but Daniel Jones is your quarterback, and the jury's very much out on him. He's never had a receiver crack 800 yards in his NFL career.
Yeah.
I got to think that this changes this year. This is the best wide receiver he's ever had. The best one before this, like Sterling Shepard or Darius Slayton. Those are guys who aren't on fantasy rosters at all, dynasty or redraft or otherwise.
Right. Wendell Robinson showed some signs of life.
Yeah, but he's 5'8" and so tiny. He's like that Rondale Moore style, like get him the ball close to the line and hopefully he can, you know, knife through defenses. But, man, I just can't rely
on that stuff. No.
Dynasty value, if all goes right for the Giants offense, it's probably due to Nabers this year. And if all goes wrong for the Giants offense, it's probably a new quarterback and possibly a new front office and coaching staff. Now, I think Nabers is going to be force-fed the ball a ton. He's still behind Marvin Harrison in rookie drafts, but he probably goes in the top 3 or 4 in single quarterback leagues and the top 6 in super flex league. He's my wide receiver 8 right now in Dynasty, just behind A.J. Brown and Puka Nacua, slightly ahead of Garrett Wilson and Chris Olave.
I hate the landing spot with the Giants and Daniel Jones. You know, we're talking about a guy who hasn't topped 15 touchdown passes in 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
And if you go back to his rookie year, he threw like 21, I think.
Yeah.
That's it. You know, I just, and I can't tell you whose quarterback's going to be next year.
That's true.
You know, Malik Nabers, I love him. Mm-hmm. I don't love this landing spot.
Yeah, and I guess for the values of others, I mean, Slayton's probably now wide receiver 2. He gets a little bit of the coverage off of him, but not like people are double covering him. But Danny Dimes, I'm looking at this as If you are a dynasty owner that has Daniel Jones on your roster, this might be your last chance to sell him.
Mm-hmm.
Or this might be, if you're a believer,
yeah,
the last chance to buy him at, you know, a discounted price.
In what is probably the most inexplicable top 10 draft pick ever, which is not to say it's going to be the worst ever.
No.
But just the most inexplicable mm-hmm. pick ever, the next fantasy player drafted was Michael Penix to the Falcons. That was an absolute jaw dropper.
And as the biggest Kirk Cousins fan on the planet, how do you feel about this?
I'm baffled. Baffled. I mean, like everybody else. You know, this absolutely torpedoes Penix's value. I mean, it's horrific for him. He lands as Kirk Cousins' backup. And I empathize with anybody who, by the way, already drafted Penix. Like, you mm-hmm. know, you were in a ridiculously early dynasty draft.
Sure.
You were in best ball leagues. You drafted Penix figuring he's going to find his way to a starting spot. Nope. And not only for, you know, the immediate future, potentially if you believe their general manager who says it could be 4 years out before Penix starts.
Well, it's at least two until they can potentially get out of the Cousins money.
Right.
And at most four. And honestly, I can't believe that Terry Fontenot is going to make draft picks today.
Know,
like Arthur
right.
Blank probably should have fired him.
Yeah.
The video that's been surfacing of Fontenot right, trying to
explain
defend it, and Arthur Blank's just looking at him like,
what?
Are you kidding me? Like you just had me spend $150 million on a quarterback, and month later you
yeah,
take
right.
his replacement? What are you doing?
It is so baffling, and it almost makes you wonder, as we're trying to grapple with why,
mm-hmm.
is there any part of it was because Kirk Cousins inadvertently outed their tampering? You know, when he went on podium and started talking about how they, you know, they'd previously contacted him, and the whole thing wrapped like 90 minutes into free agency, and
yeah.
you know, like, was that? I almost wonder if that wasn't part of it. I don't know.
They're upset with Cousins
yeah.
already, but to that end, the Falcons are probably going to lose their first round pick for tampering next year.
You wonder?
That's my guess. Mm-hmm. the Dolphins lost their first round pick last year for tampering. I think that's probably what's going to happen. So not only are they not going to have a first next year in all likelihood, what are they doing? I just can't believe it.
So the dynasty value for Penix is very low. He may not see the field for 2 or 3 years. So him dropping to Atlanta changes no, you know, doesn't affect anybody because he won't be a starter. You know, this is only to me, the only people that should be drafting Penix are people that have the luxury of waiting that long.
I dropped him so significantly in my dynasty trade value chart. I think he's down in like the range of like Wandale Robinson, Tank Bigsby,
wow,
Trey Lance.
Geez, that's
like
really
like
long.
Like way down there. Like he just plummeted. You're not going to see him for 2 years.
Yeah, and I'll probably. I mean, you need Kirk Cousins to get hurt. And as a reminder, prior to blowing out his Achilles, which nobody can you know is sort of an oddball injury. He never got hurt. I mean, Kirk was an absolute Iron Man.
But to that point, too, if Kirk Cousins gets hurt, Kirk Cousins is not a scrambling quarterback. He's a right-handed player. Penix is a left-handed player and a scrambler. It's different types of offenses altogether. They'd have to almost like fold in like a new part of the offense to continue going forward, and it just doesn't make sense at all.
Rome Odunze was the next player taken. We've already alluded to his spot in Chicago.
Yeah, I think it's a great landing spot here. He doesn't have to walk in and be wide receiver one or even a wide receiver two right away. He can learn some things from veterans DJ Moore and Keenan Allen. Plus, I think he's forever tied to Caleb Williams, and if the Caleb Williams thing works mm-hmm. out, Rome Odunze is probably going to work out. Keenan Allen, he's a free agent after this season. DJ Moore is this year and 2025 under contract. So by 2026, right. very feasible.
He's the number one at that point.
Rome Odunze is the wide receiver one.
Yep.
In an offense with a top five or top 10 quarterback, probably.
Mm-hmm.
Offensive coordinator Shane Waldron ran the offense in Seattle the last few years with Pete Carroll. He was able to feature three wide receivers, although it's worth noting Jackson Smith and Jigba, who a lot of people liked last year, Didn't really put up the numbers that we kind of hoped he would in Seattle.
But he had two. There were two other great receivers that he had to try to steal balls away from in his rookie year, which is hard.
Yeah, and I think
here you just need to take balls away from DJ Moore,
And Keenan Allen.
Well, great point, Keenan Allen too.
So there's also two great wide receivers there.
Yeah, fair point. Fair point.
So dynasty value, I think it might be a little bit slower start than some of the other receivers with the rookie QB and a lot of veteran playmakers. Touches might be hard to find long term. The upside is significant, though. I still have him ranked as the third rookie receiver off the board. He's currently my wide receiver 12 in dynasty. Similar value to Jalen Waddle and Michael Pittman. And then as far as the values of others, there are suddenly so many weapons in Chicago. I guess I'd find it hard to believe that he takes a giant dent out of the would-be production of Allen or Moore, but it might take away some of the value to the tight end position, and they already have two that are pretty good in Cole Kmet and Gerald Everett.
Gerald Everett's just okay. Can we get over? I want to just move on from that whole thing.
I mean, everybody wants to move on, but Gerald Everett, like, you know, steals touchdowns every year and just keeps producing, so it's probably going to take away from those two guys, and I think that's the risk there. I think Kmet and Everett probably down a little bit more.
When we come back, J.J. McCarthy finds himself in Minnesota.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Like many of us, you might think identity theft will never happen to you. But consider this. There's a new identity theft victim every 3 seconds in the U.S. That's over 15 million people by the end of this year, equal to the populations of New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago combined. Even worse, identity theft victims often don't even know they're victims. That's why LifeLock Identity Theft Protection alerts you to identity threats, even the ones that don't show up on a credit report, like data breaches, fraudulent bank transactions, loan and credit card applications, and crimes committed in your name. If your identity is stolen, your own dedicated LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. LifeLock protects you in ways that you simply can't on your own. Join now and save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/news. That's LifeLock.com/news to save up to 25%. Identity theft protection starts here.
You can't ask for a better landing spot for really any quarterback, let alone J.J. McCarthy, than in Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
So I can't even remember a highly drafted rookie who falls into such a good spot in recent memory, because typically the good rookies find themselves on bad teams,
Terrible teams, right?
Yeah. I mean, Caleb Williams is in a pretty good spot right now, but not like this. You get Justin Jefferson, Jordan Addison, TJ Hockenson will be back off the ACL at some point. You get bookend tackles that are in place to protect the pocket. Mm-hmm. The Vikings finished last year ranked third in pass blocking by Pro Football Focus. Kevin O'Connell runs a quarterback-friendly system that powered Kirk Cousins to the best years of his career. You know, I think the only hesitation about this landing spot for J.J. McCarthy is O'Connell has no track record of utilizing the mobility of quarterbacks when he's got him, and we've only seen a handful of games. But when
Joshua Dobbs has something to say about this.
You know, Josh Dobbs, he didn't do any designed runs for Josh Dobbs, yeah. whose only real viable asset was his running. So hopefully, I hope that Kevin O'Connell will provide some running opportunities for the unique athleticism that McCarthy does bring.
Well, you think about the last two quarterbacks Kevin O'Connell has had serious time with, and that's Kirk Cousins and Matthew Stafford. Not the most
mobile guys.
So his offense maybe just hasn't had that running option because of the personnel he had.
Very possible. Dynasty value here for J.J. McCarthy, fairly high. I don't think it's the elite high end that we had with Jaden Daniels, Caleb Williams, but it's not far off of that. He's my third ranked rookie quarterback, and roughly I'd put him at running like quarterback 13 among all Dynasty Empire quarterbacks. Where do you have him?
You got it right there. Okay. I have him tied with Drake May in the value. So
okay.
It's your choice of which one you want.
Well, but I want the guy who's throwing to Justin Jefferson.
That's what I want.
And Jordan Addison. That's what I want. So in terms of value of others, this move salvages the value of Jefferson, Addison, Hockenson, who would have just been torpedoed if the Vikings would have had to go like Bo Nix or something. Although they're, I think all three of those guys are in danger of diminished stats in the immediate future because J.J. McCarthy's not going to be Kirk Cousins in year one, maybe not even year two. You know, there's going to be a learning process here, and he might be sitting on a 21 touchdown season.
Don't rain on my parade, Charge. Yeah, he's going to throw 40 touchdowns in his first year.
Let's go to the aforementioned Bo Nix. Denver making a, I feel, desperation move at quarterback.
Yeah, I think this one was Michael Penix going at 8 made Denver go, oh, crap.
It blew it up. They blew up the draft.
It's probably the worst kept secret in the draft, too, that the Broncos wanted Nix. He comes into a situation with Sean Payton handpicking him to be his guy, despite the fact that the QB room has Jarrett Stidham and Zach Wilson and Ben DiNucci. Everyone thinks that Russell Wilson's career is an afterthought now, but last year he was the 14th ranked quarterback in fantasy,
which
isn't bad. And if Payton identified him to run the type, Nix to run the type of offense that he wants, he could actually flourish here. Dynasty value, he moved up because I think he's the day one starter in Denver.
For sure he is, given who else is on roster.
He's still the fifth quarterback off the board in a rookie draft right now. I have him in a tie for quarterback 21 in Dynasty right now, tied with Bryce Young and just above QB Browns and Baker Mayfield. Values of others. So Nix was known for his high completion percentage and relatively short ADOT. So, Javonte Williams, Samaje Perine, and Jaleel McLaughlin, they're all under contract next year. They were targeted a combined 150 times last year.
That's a lot for running back group.
The Broncos running backs led the league with 131 total receptions last year, 15 more than the next highest team. The problem is, there's three of them. Now, if we can, suddenly make one disappear, both of those remaining running backs are really interesting, especially for best ball formats where you could just have fantastic days. But I think that those running backs are the biggest winners with Bo Nix as the quarterback.
Which is weird.
It is.
They're really weird. All right, let's go to the next player taken. It's Brock Bowers who drops into a weird spot. The second strangest pick of the first round. Not that Brock Bowers wasn't requisite value at pick 14, because he was. I mean, in fact, he was overdue to be taken. Sorry, pick 13. But that he dropped in Las Vegas, who had just put enormous draft capital into Michael Mayer the year before.
Yeah, second round pick.
Yep, so Bowers, clearly the best available player, but the landing spot baffling, and now this adds all kinds of turmoil into what to think about Bowers, and especially Mayer, who just gets daggered for any value that he had.
I have him in our Empire League now.
And you should not have seen this coming.
I'm about to drop him, too.
Yes,
I just outright drop him. He's not worth anything.
He's not.
Yep.
I mean, Bowers is so much better as a receiver.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not that worried about long-term. Let's just say, like, next year.
Mm-hmm.
This thing's all Bowers. And it'll be mostly Bowers this year, but Mayer's going to, you know, because Mayer's in his second year and he is a decent receiver. He's a good all-around tight end. He's going to take reps away from Bowers.
Well, and as Thor put it on several of these shows, Bowers is more of a big slot than he is a tight end.
So they can do some of both.
Mayer might still be in more of in a blocking tight end sort of capacity.
Yeah.
And Bowers just might be, you know, weapon X moving all around. And, you know, I kind of like this for Davante Adams a little bit here and Jacoby Myers too.
Even with all these question marks, Bowers is clearly tight end one among the rookie tight ends.
Yeah.
It's not even close.
No.
It's not a conversation. And among all tight ends, so I would have LaPorta ahead of him. I'd have McBride ahead of him. Maybe Mark Andrews and Hockenson. Maybe Kincaid. I think he's going to be in that five-ish range overall for me. Brock Bowers, where do you have him?
On the dynasty chart, I have him tied for two. Travis Kelce.
Oh, jeez. Wow, okay. All right. Okay, and I think Kelsey's still in this conversation, too, obviously. All right, let's go.
Just ahead of Dalton Kincaid and Trey McBride. Barely ahead.
I'm taking the proven guys first.
Yeah.
Yeah,
The tantalizing upside of Brock Bowers is there, though.
You definitely factor in rookie hype.
I definitely do. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Because for me, this is a trade value chart. It's what do you have to give up to get these guys? And really, that's what it is.
Available at Chalk Fantasy.
Yeah.
Let's go to the next player taken. Brian Thomas goes to the Jaguars, pick number 23.
Brian Thomas Jr. Thomas likely slides into the Calvin Ridley role from last season. There's Christian Kirk to man the slot, Gabe Davis and Zay Jones as wild cards all around the field. Trevor Lawrence is an above-average quarterback, we think. And you think
that
it's a decent offense under Doug Peterson. So the landing spot's pretty good. But the problem is what Calvin Ridley did last year in PPR games. Ridley only managed to get double-digit PPR points in 6 of 17 games. And one of them was in Week 18, so it didn't count for fantasy. So Ridley sunk your lineup last year more than he helped. And I just kind of wonder, is Trevor Lawrence the kind of quarterback who can vault a guy into, you know, a top 24 wide receiver? I'm unsure that he is.
I think he is.
Okay.
Yeah, and I think Christian Kirk hasn't been that far off of that, actually, wide receiver 24. And these guys have, I think, well, this guy in particular, Brian Thomas, has more.
He did move down south from Minnesota, right. Just straight to Jacksonville.
Look, I've got like 4 hours of sleep last night. you're going to have to forgive that.
As far as dynasty value, I didn't move him based on the landing spot. He's wide receiver 4 off the board in a rookie draft, which is about the 7th pick in a single quarterback league, 11th pick in a super flex league. He's wide receiver 30 currently on my trade value chart, comped right around Jordan Addison, George Pickens, Tank Dell. Does that sound about right to you?
I really like Tank Dell, so you're maybe asking the wrong guy. I would take I'd take Addison and Dell over him, but sure.
Values of others, this probably helps take some of the pressure off of Christian Kirk, and I think it does help Trevor Lawrence a bit too, but I'm not going to move them up my ranks very much, if at all.
The next fantasy player taken in a trade up, which we love.
With Buffalo.
Always
Kansas City trading with Buffalo to get Mahomes. Yeah. If Xavier Worthy ends up being the next Tyreek Hill, Buffalo's going to just
kill
vomit.
Themselves. Yeah, it's a disaster. So, reminder on Xavier Worthy, and especially if you're confusing him with Xavier Leggett.
I think it's Leggett.
Leggett, thank you. This is the fast one, not the thick one, not the big, slow one. So he's the guy who set the record for the fastest combine time ever recorded in the 40.
Yeah.
4.21. And most track star receivers end up being grade A busts. But here's where Xavier Worthy's promising. The productivity that he had at Texas with Steve Sarkisian was amazing. And you get rare toughness for a kid with his very slight frame. This and obviously the landing spot in Kansas City is
you
ideal.
Could not ask for a better landing spot, maybe Miami.
So the question is, are you going to have to wait a year for reliable production? Because the Chiefs likely start Marquise Brown ahead of him. Brown is on a 1 year prove it deal, which I think Brown's going to be the starter. You know, and Xavier Worthy does have some raw components to his game. So I see Worthy as an inconsistent not never, but inconsistent producer this year and a regular starter next year when Marquise Brown is off to his fourth team and Xavier Worthy is a starter in 2025. Dynasty value to me pretty high because the landing spot, if you don't mind shelving him for a season, you may have Patrick Mahomes' best receiver in 2025.
You could.
And Rashee Rice has turned into a sizable wild card right now.
Yeah, absolutely.
For value of others, I just think this pick ensures that the stylistically similar Marquise Brown is gone at the end of this coming season. And so to me, that's the biggest effect he has on others.
Yeah, I have Xavier Worthy right in the same tier as Brian Thomas right now. So the Addison, Pickens, Tank Dell kind of tier.
Yeah, I might, you know, I might go Worthy just for the freaky upside that he brings. If it does click, you've got a top 10 fantasy receiver on your hands.
I think the really intriguing way to play Xavier Worthy is best ball.
Yeah, for sure. Because he's going to give you some big, you know, when he pulls in the 80 yarders.
Yeah.
You know, which
Mahomes hasn't had, you know, the burner since Hill left 2 years ago. So I think that Mahomes having a field stretcher guy that's not Marquez Valdez Scantling, I think that, you know, that's a pretty intriguing notion.
But that is your downside, though.
Yeah.
I mean, you know,
he's Marquez Valdez Scantling.
Yeah, he's Marquez Valdez Scantling. Yeah. That would be the concern. Mm-hmm. All right, let's go to Ricky Pearsall.
Yeah, I mean, becoming a weapon in a Kyle Shanahan offense is never a bad thing, especially with the swirling Brandon Ayuk trade rumors. But speaking of Ayuk, Pearsall and Ayuk both were wide receivers at Arizona State in 2019, and Ayuk even sent a text to John Lynch last night, according to Adam Schefter, that said it was a great pick. So,
all right, like it.
The problem for Pearsall is there's just a lot of mouths to feed. You got McCaffrey, Ayuk, Debo, Kittle. Juwan Jennings is a good wide receiver, too.
Yeah.
And by the way, Kyle Juszczyk, he's on the field about 55% of snaps last year. That's too many players to have on the field.
Yep.
Pearsall's the odd man out, unless there's a trade coming soon.
Which many people believe that's going to happen.
Could happen.
And by the way, including maybe Debo.
Maybe
if you believe some of the media reports out there,
maybe they just remake that wide receiver room altogether. If that happens, I think he gets rocketed up the dynasty trade value chart.
But doesn't it almost have to happen to validate this selection?
Not a pick 31.
Still a first rounder.
Just weapons,
I guess.
I mean, Debo's been injured off and on the last few years, and Kittle gets injured and just.
Yeah,
you know, at pick 31, I think it's fine. If they thought he was the best weapon available, go get him.
Was he, though?
I don't know. He might not.
It just didn't smack of best available player like the way Brock Bowers did. Like,
sure.
Brock Bowers falls to the Raiders, and, like, he's, you know, he's number six on our overall board, and we're at 14. We got to take him. I don't get that off of Ricky Pearsall.
I got Pearsall landing in the Christian Kirk, Brandon Cooks, Gabe Davis, Jahan Dotson neck of the woods. In other words, those are bench flex guys right now. He has probably a few wide receivers who are about to go off in round two that will have a higher value going forward in rookie drafts. I think that there's three or four guys who are instantly drafted in round two today that – will go ahead of him in a rookie draft and instantly become wide receiver one on their team. Values of others. Does this move make Brandon Ayuk more expendable? Maybe.
Yes. It does.
Other than that, the only one dinged here might be the low value of Juwan Jennings.
Who I actually like Juwan Jennings.
I do too. I think he's like legit wide receiver two kind of guy. Mm-hmm. He only saw about 35% of snaps last year. I mean, is that the upside we're looking at for Pearsall?
Well, only if Juwan Jennings, you know, like drives off a bridge or something.
Yeah. So
I don't see a lot of immediate impact happening.
No, I don't either.
Yeah. All right. Let's get to our final player taken and the last selection of round number one. Xavier Leggett goes to Carolina, who trades up just one spot to go get him. You get the fifth-year option on him, but... You know, hopefully, you know, he's so good, you're re-signing him before he gets the fifth year.
The Panthers are insane.
You know who hates this pick is Dane Brugler. I had to dig down through the beast to get to Leggett at wide receiver 14 in his rankings.
Yikes.
Yeah. He is a thick-bodied receiver. Think poor man's DK Metcalf. And you've got the idea here for him. He was catching passes from Spencer Rattler at South Carolina. And look, the Panthers just aren't an ideal landing spot for a variety of reasons. And I think the dynasty value here is medium low. Just 1 year of production in college. Mm-hmm. So he's super raw. He really did nothing through college until last year. He's going to need a lot of coaching and probably a few seasons before he's going to be a consistent fantasy producer, if ever. And for the immediate time being, he's log jam behind, granted, an aging Adam Thielen, also Deontay Johnson, just in pecking orders with the ball.
I think both of those guys' contracts are up after this year.
For the immediate time being, those guys are both target magnets.
Sure.
You know, so I can't
both
see.
Both should receive over 100 targets this year.
Yeah. So I think the bigger impact here might be to the same of the other depth receivers. Terrace Marshall's officially dead. And if he wasn't already, I mean, in my mind, he was already dead. But it also throws a lot of concern at Jonathan Mingo, last year's second round pick, who only totaled 400 yards last year and reached the end zone zero times. So that doesn't, you know, I think Mingo here could be a casualty as well, but like it. I don't like the landing spot. I don't like how long it's going to take him to get up to speed. And I don't like that he wasn't already productive in college. This feels like a long-term payoff, if ever.
Yeah, I didn't really move him all that much in my rankings. He's right in the area of, you know, kind of the Gabe Davis, Tyler Lockett, Josh Downs, Jameson Williams.
I'd take all of those guys before him.
Yeah.
Man, you might be more optimistic.
I'm probably more optimistic. And I mean, if we look down to the next tier, is he in the Quentin Johnston, Rashad Bateman, Rashid Shaheed kind of area?
You're talking to the king of the Rashid Shaheed fan club. So, well, I'm not king. I am the I'm technically the sergeant at arms.
Okay.
Of the Rashid Shaheed fan club. Next episode.
Yeah.
Thor Nystrom will join, and we will talk about some of the major impact guys that went later in the draft after round one.
Sure, this should be pretty running back and wide receiver.
Yeah, that's going to be some of the fun of it, right?
Yeah.
Pick, if I could, the guy I'm targeting the most, I already alluded to this once, Trey Benson, just drop it like Dallas or Cincinnati. I mean, I just, you know, if I can get him into a spot where he can get a lot of use on a functional offense, I'm going to be really excited about Trey Benson.
Oh, but what if the Cowboys bring back Zeke Elliott, who they're talking to?
Not worried. If he's the same Zeke we saw last year or the year before, he offers no threat. Not too worried about that. Thank you, Matt Harrison.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you for listening, everybody. We'll be back next week for more Fantasy Football Weekly.
Nine times.
Fantasy Football Weekly is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
You wouldn't expect to hear that we're America's third best city for beer like this one. Or home to vibes like this. And this. It might surprise you that we're top 10 for immersive art that's like,
whoa.
And?
Hmm.
Not to mention, we have one of the top zoos in the country. So can a city with the country's best pro soccer team, ranking as a top culinary destination in the world, be in your own backyard? Yes, Columbus. Plan your summer at experiencecolumbus.com/summer.